Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the Steakhouse here on a Friday morning. Abe Gordon, final day filling in for Steak Shapiro. He's going to be back on Monday. Sitting alongside me today, the one and only Rusty Mansell. Rusty, how we doing on a Friday, man?
Man, good. Glad to be here. You know Steak's going to come in here like damn Tasmanian devil on Monday. It's going to be awesome.
How much weight you think he put on? He's a relatively slim and trim fella.
He's, but
I bet he gets like 8 pounds up on vacation.
I would say eight because a lot of pasta, a lot of carbs, I would imagine, and some liquids.
Oh, sure.
Especially in Italy.
Sure. So. Now, I have also heard that their food is healthier in general, so you can eat more of it and not add on the, you know.
I would be willing to bet.
Total poundage.
If we weighed him the day he left the last show till he walks in Monday.
I'd say eight. Eight's a good number.
Eight's a good number. For a guy, yeah.
I can put on 8 pounds in a day and a half.
I did 5 on vacation, and it pissed me off.
That's not that bad.
I got it off now, but, I mean, it was 5 easy.
When I go off and on the diet, like, I went off the diet the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And you're supposed to cycle off and on. I put on, and now I don't eat smart when I go off the diet, right? That's the thing. I go off the diet and be like, all right, cheat weekend, yeah. Everything we can get in. I put on 14 pounds in 2 days.
Oh, my God, dude.
Two days later, it's all back off. It's all good.
Dude, I bought a homemade ice cream maker.
Oh, that'd be a problem.
It already is.
Yeah, that's
what the problem. I put the damn thing up.
You might need to break it.
I probably will.
I don't think putting it away is enough.
I'm telling you, I bought one about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It came into my, like, social media algorithm, and I saw these recipes. I was like, dude, I've got to try that. And, yeah, that was a problem.
Yeah, that's not good. What is good is the Atlanta Falcons training camp. We had a great day out there yesterday. The fans were rocking. We spoke to a number of different players. We're going to hear some of them today. Andy and Randy spoke with Raheem Morris. I know you guys have already heard that interview before. Dukes and Bell caught up with Michael Penix. We're going to listen back to what they had to say. I actually had a chance to speak with Younghoe Koo yesterday. In our next segment, we'll listen back to that. It's an interesting situation for him, obviously. This is a real kicking competition. As much as you want to try and downplay it, I think the team wants him to win the job, Younghoe Koo. I think if he's healthy, he will win the job. But it is a competition.
I would imagine every year, they always have somebody in there. You know what I mean? No question. Even, what's my guy from the Chiefs? He's from Atlanta.
What, Butker?
Butker. I mean, they always have somebody in camp with you. But, I mean, Koo, after the year he had, a couple of inconsistent, you know, games there and kind of what he went through, healthy or not healthy, I would imagine this is a very big camp for him.
He seemed confident and upbeat. We'll listen to that in a little bit. A lot to get to in the college football realm. The tailgate is coming your way towards the end of the hour. And at 10 o'clock, I think that all SEC teams can go into one of 3 groups. And so I'll share that, and we'll see if you can shred my argument apart. Of course, as always, when Rusty is in, we do have Rusty Rocks. You want to give a quick preview?
Because
it's a different style today.
I would imagine of the 2.5 years of Rusty Rocks, this is the first time I've ever split categories. There's a couple of things that happened this week and something that's going to happen this weekend for me. So I kind of mixed 3 topics in together for 5 songs.
Well, we got a lot to get to today. Hour 1 of the Steakhouse brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's #1 rated pressure washing company. Let's dive straight in with the 9 at 9. Boy, One day in, and the talking points are all over the place for the Atlanta Falcons at training camp. Hey, just a reminder that we're going to be out there, 92.9 will be out there on Saturday with Sam and Greg, on Sunday with Mike Johnson and Dylan Matthews. Tickets for the weekend have already been claimed. They are completely sold
out. How many do they do, 2,000 a day?
I didn't get
I heard it's 2,000.
Exact number. But don't forget, if you go to AtlantaFalcons.com, you can claim free tickets to the 8 remaining open practices. By the way, the days I would look to go is these joint practices with the Titans. There are still tickets available for that. So keep an eye out.
What's
there.
What's the dates on that, you know?
I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
I didn't do my research. Also, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, exclusive on-site coverage of the training camp. We're going to be out there Tuesday and Thursday next week, the morning shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy, live from Flowery Branch. Duke's going to be at the Hooters just around the corner at the Mall of Georgia as well.
They call that work? Because I see all the social media
yeah.
stuff. I can tell with Duke's and Bell's energy there. That's one of those that gives them a little pep in their step.
You still got it. You still got to perform. You know what I mean? Yeah. You still got it. Still 4 hours. But
I know my
you
guy.
Over
I,
here,
can, I can tell
we
my
over
guy,
here
Bell,
chilling in 2 hours.
I can tell
mean?
My guy, Bell, well, he has a little bit pep in his step.
4 hours go
the,
quick sometimes.
The Super Hooters
yeah.
up there.
The Taj Mahal Hooters up there. Coverage brought to you by North Georgia Honda Dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no parties like a Hooters party. A live coverage of Falcons training camp already underway and training camp. And we'll get to it at various times. But I think the big kind of overreaction day one is Kyle Pitts.
I'll say this, and then listen to me. I know this guy very well, one of my close personal friends. I know how he is. I don't think he kind of is this type of tone. But yesterday, DJ Shockley, former Georgia quarterback,
yeah.
DJ Shockley says, get ready, NFL. This Falcons offense is going to do some special things this year. It's just the first day of camp, but this offense is so multiple when it comes to personnel. Oh, yeah, the Penix to Pitts connection is alive.
And look, we're going to understand it was one day of training camp, but none of this really matters until you get out there week one and showcase something against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think we all agree with that.
Yeah.
But you've got Pitts, who has shown before what he can be in his rookie year, over 1,000 yards.
Yep.
He's gotten better touchdown numbers every year. Rookie year one, then two, then three, and then four, maybe five this year. Who knows? Hopefully more. But the other point of this is, if he's good, and then you roll in Drake London being a top 10 receiver, and then you roll in Darnell Mooney being one of the top five or six number two receivers. I mean, you start
Bijan Robinson
well,
in the backfield.
You can't forget about that guy now, can you?
Yep.
And so I think there is a lot of comments being said. I know Michael Penix, this could
be
one of them.
We've drafted so many players over there. It better be damn good.
And the other thing is you have an okay line. None of this works if you have
correct
what some of like the Patriots and they put Drake May under so much issue last year. When you have a bad line, it all falls apart.
Yep.
You could have a best running back, doesn't matter. You can have a number one receiver, doesn't matter. You could have the quarterback and it doesn't matter. We've seen that before in the league. I'm not saying your line's the best in the NFL, but it ain't the worst.
Yeah.
And you're a lot closer to being a top 10 than you are a bottom 10 line, and that goes a long way. A Braves back in action here. 3-game series against the Rangers. Listed starters are Joey Wentz, Grant Holmes, and Bryce Elder. A tip of the cap to Jesse Chavez announces his retirement.
Yeah, man.
Probably the next step for him, if he wants, is I'm sure he would be welcomed, if not in the Braves, somewhere else as a coach.
Yeah, much experience he's had and many different settings he's had. It'd be crazy. Now, I would imagine you start looking at, hey, am I going to really go to minor league? Am I really going to do that? You know, get on a bus every day and live somewhere that's not a major metropolitan city will be the question. But if his, if his ambition is to wind up being a coach, I would imagine the Braves would probably entertain all that. The Braves are 14.5 out. They're 26-26 at home. They're 18-31 on the road.
We don't look at the record anymore.
44-57.
We've stopped looking at the record, Rusty.
Here's what I told Bo in pre-show. I said, Bo, and Bo had a good point. He goes, look, it's the product. It's the battery. You know, the Giants games weren't great, but still, you know, playing the Yankees, even though you lose close
games. But you know what? Hold on. I was at one of the Giants game. It was a way better crowd than I thought it was going to be.
Here's the problem for the Braves.
Product on the field mostly.
School's going to start back. Football season's here. Can you draw 14 games down in mid-August with the Marlins coming to town? All these games, we'll find out real quick how the rest of the season.
I get it, but I still think the numbers are going to be higher than it was. Way more than I would have thought that night. The Atlanta United back at home Saturday night taking on the Seattle Sounders. The other thing we're keeping an eye on with the Atlanta United squad is that the transfer window in the MLS is now open. And so we could see some movement and roster turnover begin. Atlanta Dream take on the Minnesota Lynx, 7 o'clock on Sunday. They're going to complete their road trip. And now we got to get into a couple of other side stories here. Rusty, I know we'll circle back to some of these throughout the rest of the show, maybe in Rusty Rocks. Hulk Hogan passes away at age 71 due to cardiac arrest.
This week is absolutely sucked.
Yeah.
Theo Huxtable, Hulk Hogan, Ozzy Osbourne. It just flat out has sucked. But Hulk Hogan, look, man, it was so last night. It was ESPN. It was ESPN, CNN, Fox News. It was mainstream everywhere and talking about him and his impact of how he performed in sports entertainment. And kind of everybody grew up knowing who Hulk Hogan was.
Yeah, I think opinions of Hulk have changed over the years become a little bit more outspoken. Mm-hmm. But the impact he had into the mid and late 80s in through the 90s, I don't think can be understated. And it's not been understated on that business.
Where would you rank him as far as performance and growth of the sport?
In terms of growth of the sport, he's won.
I would imagine so.
Unless you want to kind of start to discuss like the Vince McMahon.
Because it doesn't
happen without Vince, but it also doesn't happen without Hulk.
Yeah.
But he's number one. And I honestly don't think it's particularly close.
33 million people watched him wrestle.
He probably had 15 years where he was the number one guy in the industry and sold more tickets than anyone, more pay-per-view buys than anyone. And obviously
what was
had
his name? Terry what?
Terry Bollea.
Terry Bollea.
And quite frankly, I enjoyed some of his movies growing up.
Thunderlips.
Thunderlips was the start, but No Holds Barred was great.
Thunderlips.
Oh, is he Mr. Mommy or whatever was in there? There's a bunch of good stuff out there. Happy Gilmore 2. It's out this morning on Netflix. Fantastic Four out in theaters today. I have seen both.
Okay, well, no spoilers.
I have seen both.
I know you.
I went to Fantastic Four yesterday. I saw it in 3D, which is something we need to discuss at some point.
Yeah, be careful now.
I also 3D. Watched, I pretty much just told you, hey, Rusty, I'm doing no real show prep today. I'm watching Happy Gilmore this morning.
So I get in this morning, 8 o'clock, and Abe comes in like, fifth gear, throwing papers down on my desk. Hey, man, I've got an hour left to Happy Gilmore 2. Here's the rundown. Here's the paper. I'll be back about 15 till. I'm like, what?
I said you could come in if you had any questions, but I knew you'd handle it.
Dude's watching Happy Gilmore 2 this morning.
It can be viewed as its own style of show prep. We talked about it.
No spoilers. No spoilers. Just yay or nay.
Well, yay.
Watching.
Very much yay. Okay, here was the thing, and this is not
careful
a plot.
Now.
Nothing.
Careful.
No, it's fine.
Careful.
Happy Gilmore was one of the funniest movies I'd ever seen, right? I was in that age where it all flowed. I wasn't sure, one, what Happy Gilmore 2 would be, but also like what my level of comedy still is and what I would still laugh at. And I would say I laughed a lot, very heavy at times. It was more than expected. And so I would say absolutely yay.
End of July. First day of school in Chattooga County, Georgia.
My sister started yesterday.
Students start today.
Oh, no. A hard pass.
July 25th.
What is that?
First day of school.
When did you get back into school? Ours was August.
So we'll talk about this later in the show. We're having a 35th reunion this weekend for our state championship team. I've got a football program. We played our first game on Friday night of Labor Day weekend. And in parentheses, it had a little note beside it. It said first day of school.
Yeah.
We started Friday of Labor Day weekend.
We were a little early. Who starts school on a Friday?
We did.
What is that about? We started a little bit earlier. My birthday is August 11th. We never had school when it was my birthday. Yeah. So it was always after that. I know that. Anyways.
Guess who started today? Chattooga County.
That's crazy. That's super crazy. When we come back, my interview with Young Waku, also some thoughts and some observations from Atlanta Falcons training camp as we roll on. It's Rusty Mansell, Abe Gordon in for State Shapiro on the Steakhouse. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Welcome back in the Steakhouse. Abe Gordon, Rusty Mansell here on a Friday morning. Rusty, you said something to me during the break.
What we got?
About football's return.
So, this is the last weekend. By the way, that's a great one there, Bo. Bell Biv DeVoe, Poison, my God. This is the last weekend until February the 8th, 2026. We do not have football. Starting next Thursday night, we have NFL preseason, and we will have some form, shape, fashion of football. High school football starts on August 1st. There's 29 scrimmage games in the state of Georgia. NFL is every Thursday starting next week, and the weekend games, it's here.
Did you know Dukes and Bell are celebrating just that?
Yeah.
They're doing something called Final Friday, next Friday, August 1st. They're going to have a party at Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. They want you to be a part of it. So listen to Dukes and Bell this week for a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to the Margaritaville at Lanier Islands Water Park. And then join them August 1st as they celebrate the end of summer and the start of football, Final Friday, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I will be at McEachern at Gainesville that night, which is a ton of Division I prospects. I may just have to pregame right up there at the lake. See what those boys.
I'll put in a good word for you.
But see if you know somebody. See if you know somebody.
As much as we await the games to be played, practice is underway. And I was out there at Flower Branch yesterday, and I was talking yesterday, Rusty, about some of the position battles that I was interested in, and one of them certainly is at kicker. After yesterday's practice, I had the opportunity to catch up with Atlanta Falcons kicker Younghoe Koo. He knows it was a tough year last year. It certainly the worst year of his professional career. It wasn't anything like he wanted, but he's coming back in a good mental place, physically strong, and I had a chance to speak with him after practice yesterday. I started the conversation off just by asking how he's feeling as training camp gets going.
I feel great, ready to go, mentally, physically, spiritually, however you want to call it. It's the best I've felt, and I'm really excited for the season to start.
What's your off season like? I know we focus on some of the other positions and the work that they have to put in the off season. Do you take downtime? Do you have to work towards strengthening your leg back out and then get into the technique and perfecting that? What does your off season look like?
Yeah, so I did a lot of, like, asking questions to the veterans that have kicked in the NFL for a long time of what their routines are as far as off season goes or in season goes. And it's I realize everybody's different. And for me, I like to build my body up in the weight room as a strength and conditioning block. So I do that for about 2-3 months and then get it back into kicking around like March, April.
Now, you're coming off of a year, you had a hip injury and things didn't go the way anyone had wanted. Is that fully in the rearview mirror? Are you feeling back to 100% right now?
Yeah, I feel great. I don't think I felt better going to a training camp yet. And not to sugarcoat anything, you know, it was the worst season of my life. And that's, you know, not that it's okay, but you got to put it past you and then move on. Just like if you had a great season, make the Pro Bowl, it doesn't matter. It's the next season up. And if you have a bad season, cool, next season's coming up, you got to get ready and go. So I try to stay in that neutral spot mentally so that, you know, you're not too up or down and you just put the work in, get back to your process, and try to be the best version of yourself.
Yeah, I think you were a Pro Bowler. I think it was back in 2020. How much does a year like last year help you reset mentally your career and kind of maybe find hunger and find drive to work back towards perfection, which you had gotten pretty close to finding?
Yeah, it was, you know, obviously, like, that was a great season in 2020, and then not so good season last year. Cool, like, I know what I'm capable of. I'm excited to get back out there and put the work in and being, you know, the best in the league, which I know I'm capable of. So I'm just going to put the work in and see what happens.
It is Atlanta Falcons kicker Younghoe Koo joining us here at Atlanta Falcons training camp. What's it like having the fans back? Last year, obviously, the construction halted that, but they're out there, and they were popping and energy and feeling it today.
Yeah, it was a good turnout. I think, you know, you feel the energy of excitement from the fans, and which definitely helps, you know. Us just practicing, you know, ourselves and then having fans or, you know, at the stadium or whatever, it's definitely different. So we're definitely appreciative of the support. It does make a difference, and we feel the energy, and we're just only going to feed off of that.
You set a career long last year in a make. What do you think your legs got? Maybe not right now, but just ultimately as you build up towards the season, what sort of additional distance do you think you might have?
I don't think there's really additional distance of anything. They're going to put me out there for whatever. I'm going to try to make it. I know that.
We are coming into this year. A lot of people are viewing it as a competition at the kicker spot. How are you handling that from the mental perspective? And then has anything changed for you in training camp because of that?
No, not necessarily, because I was on the other side of the competition where I was a rookie going in trying to win a job. I understand how this goes. There are only 32 jobs in this world, really. So whether physically somebody's in here with you or not, you're always competing. You're always getting evaluated. So every day I go out there, I know that I have to put my best foot forward because you are getting evaluated by the, you know, coaches upstairs and everybody because it is only 32 jobs. So right now, yeah, we have a physical guy in here that is a competition. But at the same time, like, when nobody's here, I'm also always competing. So as far as that goes, like, mindset doesn't really change. I know I'm going to go out there and try to be the best version of myself, and that's the end of that.
I know it's always going to be tough to do in the middle parts of your career, but have you had a chance to kind of think back about how you got to this point with the Atlanta Falcons? Kind of when you come out of college and you have to take a year off and you go through the AAF, it's such a unique path to becoming one of the best kickers in the NFL. Is that something you had a chance to look back on at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a journey, but I'm not the first one to go through that kind of journey or the last. I'm just blessed that I'm in this position to be able to still live out my dream and compete and, you know, physically put the work in to be the best in the league. I mean, that's, you know, nowhere else I could, you know, dream myself being. And I'm just grateful for the opportunities that has gotten to me along the way. I'll reflect it when I'm done playing. I know that it's been a journey, but I think it's just getting started for me.
Just a couple more questions here. Young Weku, Atlanta Falcons kicker out at Atlanta Falcons training camp. When you go back, and I told you before we started, I'm kind of like the – I'm not an aficionado, but like for radio people, I'm an aficionado. When you go back and look at the progression of your run-up and your technique, there has been some changes over the past 4 or 5 years. What went into that, and what are you searching for as you adjust your lineup?
So outside looking in, it might be like really different, but there's a reason for everything that I do. It's not just like, all right, like I'm just going to do it because I feel like it. It's at the end of the day, it's like, all right, what distance I want to be at from the ball, simplest term. And with whether that's taking two steps or one small, one big, whatever it is, I'm just trying to make it as consistent start point as possible. And for me, that was kind of the things that I have picked up along the way last few years. But as far as like leaning to my feel just a little, it's a balance of like that structure, foundation of the, you know, consistency, and then adding your feel to it so you can kind of own that and feel good when you're standing there. I think I was kind of balancing that, and a couple things kind of made me do some inconsistent things, and I really dove deep into it, and I feel good where I'm at. It's kind of a, you know, like what I was doing way back, and then obviously you're going to evolve as you kick more and, you know, just finding ways to be more consistent.
I know Wikipedia pages can kind of be anything or everything depending on who wants to edit them. Yours did say that you're one of the best onside kickers in the NFL. What is your mindset for an onside kick? What are you trying to get the ball to do, and how often do you think you can get the ball to behave the way you'd like?
0%. So I would say that's all luck, right? Like, football is an odd-shaped ball. Like, you can't control what that ball does too much. And if you do, then the other team can predict it just as well as you can predict it, right? So my philosophy in that is just create chaos on that 10-yard line. But the biggest thing for me is make sure that ball goes 10 yards. Because that ball goes 9 yards, that's on me, right? So you just try to get that ball to the 10 yards, and whatever happens, happens. And then I was just fortunate that when we did have that game in, with the Saints in 19, I believe, Foye was there. It was not me, but like the ball took a lucky bounce for us, and our guys hauled ass and did their thing. So it was just like a combination of a lot of lucky things happening there.
I also saw that you played DB back at Ridgewood, player of the year. It looks like you had 6 interceptions. Have you made a plea to any of the coaches to get back out there on that side of the ball?
Man, it's different out here, man. The little, you know, Ridgewood, New Jersey high school, you know. So I said, man, you know, maybe zone 2. I'll sit in the flat or something, but that's about it. I'm not doing nothing else.
Young Way, appreciate the time. Good luck this season.
Cool, appreciate it.
Appreciate Young Way Koo hanging out with me there. I was caught off guard, Rusty, by his onside kick comments. Like, I've never heard a kicker, because we talk about it and we see game broadcasters, oh, he's going to try and get it to take that high hop. It, like, yeah. He's just like, whatever happens with the ball, man, I'm just – get it 10 yards, that's all. I was fast. It caught me super off. Of all the questions that I had for him, that was the one that caught me off guard the most with the answer.
Yeah, I mean, I hate the new – I understand the safety part of the game. I hate the new onside rules where you can't overload one side. I mean, you barely get a recovery now. It's like 95% success rate.
Yeah, I don't mind that part of the onside kick. I don't like that you can't surprise onside
yeah,
kick.
Dude,
that's the one for me.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, it's like playing poker going, hey, I'm going to bluff this hand.
Yeah, you're going to tell the
team. I'm bluffing this hand. Yeah.
That's the one for me.
I don't like it.
So Younghoe Koo involved in a position battle. And quite frankly, Rusty, this is a kicking job. And I'm sure a lot of teams probably hope this is not the case. But it is a kicking job that I think is going to be incredibly important this year. It's a difficult schedule, especially early on. I don't think you're just going to be playing in a bunch of blowout victories. I think you're going to be in tight games where you need to make clutch kicks. At times, Younghoe Koo did that last year, but there were other times you could point to where he let you down. And we know he was dealing with a hip injury, but I think you're coming back, and it's going to be incredibly important to have a guy that's reliable because you're going to be in a lot of tight games.
I think the NFL is so – the product and everything you talk about NFL versus college, the amount of close games, fourth quarter decisions – special teams, miss kick here, make a kick here, don't get a fourth down. The amount of games that come down to the last quarter in the NFL, hell yes, kicking is very important.
Yeah. Two quick notes before we head towards the tailgate. The Falcons made a couple of roster maneuvers. They released defensive back veteran Kevin King. I wasn't that surprised by that. He was a guy I'd listed
After yesterday.
He was a guy I'd listed as a veteran that could be on the chopping block. He's not the only one.
Must have had a rough practice.
They placed Kobe Bryant, Lakeil London, and Malik Verdin on the non-football injury list as well. We know Troy Anderson also on the physically unable to perform list, but that's something he could come off at any point into camp. And then also of note, just Darnell Mooney did leave practice late after a tumble. Just hit the ground a little wrong. He did not return.
Quick shout out to former Norcross five-star, former Georgia Bulldog, former Atlanta Falcon, Lorenzo Carter, who announced his retirement. I know he listens. I know he listens to 92.9, my guy. Enjoyed covering you, man, from the 10th grade on. Best of luck in retirement, and well earned, man. What a great person, but a hell of a football player, and he'll always be remembered as Georgia Bulldog fans blocking that kick against Oklahoma, and Sonny Michel scored on the next play.
Tailgate coming up next, Rusty. We got a lot of college football coming your way, but there was some stuff that went down yesterday on social media, stuff that went down in the White House. We got to talk all about
stuff on Memphis football.
Yeah, that's the social media one I was talking about. So we got a lot to get to. The tailgate coming your way with Rusty Mansell. It's Abe Gordon on the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back into the Steakhouse. Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro. Rusty Mansell here on a Friday. Bo Johnson, as usual, hanging out with us as well. This hour of Steakhouse brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. Mentioned, Rusty, I woke up earlier today, and I was going to listen to one of the podcasts that I normally listen to while I walk Chipper and while I drive in, but instead I started watching Happy Gilmore 2, finished that. I only had the time to watch Happy Gilmore 2 because I went yesterday and saw the Fantastic Four movie that is coming out today or came out yesterday, however you want to do it. I saw it in 3D because
Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
Okay.
The timing of when the showing was, I didn't want to wait longer than I had to, and that's the timing that worked. So I went and saw it in 3D. I had not seen a 3D movie in a long time, probably over a decade. And I was a little interested to see what the advancements were over the last 10 years in 3D technology. I can say this, there's no point to see that movie in 3D.
I don't know the last 3D was like Pirates of the Caribbean, like 2 or something 3D.
Dead Man's Chest?
I think I did a few of them in 3D.
I think that was the last. I took my girls at a younger age. I think it was the last time I saw a 3D was maybe Pirates of the Caribbean.
I had this thought for a while, and yesterday reconfirmed it. Unless the movie's animated, and you can do so many more things in an animated movie 3D than you can in a live action.
Was Cars, either one of the Cars, like Cars 2 3D or something?
One of the Cars was. The Lego movies are made Cars in 3D.
I'll go on the stance. You should not spend the extra money for a 3D movie unless it's animated.
How much more on average is that?
I can't speak for everyone because I have the unlimited package, so it might be a different upcharge for me.
It ranges anywhere from like $2 more per ticket to $4.
And you still get the paper glasses?
No, they're real glasses now. They're like real sunglasses that you then recycle.
Okay.
I think it was $3 for me, but there was no added benefit at all for 3D. And now, some movies, live action, may be filmed with special cameras that are more specifically designed for 3D. And I guess, like, saying it live action isn't the right term, because, like, Avatar's kind of live action, but there's so much computer-generated and CGI stuff that maybe that is one that would be valuable in 3D. This was not. It was not.
We're in 2025. I mean, why are we having to wear glasses, first off, or something like that? They got special cameras. Just make it work. And the second damn thing, it gets
You just want the screen. Wait, hold on. That's not how technology works. The screen should be 3D?
Yeah, hell yeah. Just make the damn thing work.
Bo, you want to help me out? That's how the human eye works.
The second thing here pisses me off. We're in 2025. They got freaking cars that are driving themselves. You got drones delivering fast food. How in the hell is it so difficult to connect your freaking phone to your Bluetooth when you crank your damn car up? It takes 10 damn minutes. You lose two calls. I'm like,
what are you talking about?
You crank your car up.
Mine connects in 10 seconds.
Mine doesn't.
This sounds like a problem.
No, it's not. All my friends are the same way.
Are you on Bluetooth or are you on CarPlay?
Bluetooth.
How old's your car?
It's a 2019.
You should be able to park in the
lot? Did you park in the lot? Are you in the garage?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to run some tests after the show.
I'm just telling you, everybody, all my friends are like, hold on, I'm cranking my car. And you lose the call. It takes a minute. It pisses me off.
Now, it does take me 10 seconds. Like, it shouldn't take that long.
The call shouldn't drop, though.
Yeah.
That's bad, dude. I'm telling
you. I have CarPlay.
Have you updated your phone?
Probably.
You know, I just updated last night to the new iOS beta 26.
What the hell is
that? There's some changes, man. Look at this. Look at my phone.
I mean, I'm still on Atari.
Look at that. What is that?
AI emojis on there? The AI emojis are freaking awesome.
You see that?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of changes going on here.
Oh, dude, I'm afraid to do that.
Nah. Back up your phone and get after it. See what happens.
They'll shut the power down in my damn town.
It's all right. We got a lot to get to here. College football coming your way. They're showing Bill Belichick on ESPN right now. Bill Belichick made the rounds yesterday.
He's a ray of sunshine.
We're going to talk about it. Let's go ahead and get to the tailgate. Rusty, we'll get to some of these other topics here in a moment. But since we started with Bill Belichick, did you happen to catch his 10-minute diatribe yesterday?
Two minutes of it.
He speaks for 10 minutes. He refuses to address the off-field drama. He fields only three questions. One of those questions was about the dying position of fullback.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was his 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Filibuster.
I was wondering if he'd be any different at college versus the pros and how he handles media and all that stuff.
Let North Carolina come to SEC and him go to media days there.
Is this a one-year thing? Do you think there's a year two for him?
I do think there's a year two. I'm interested after 2 years.
That buyout.
Also, he'll know by then, can he get players to Chapel Hill?
Yeah.
Can he get, because everybody's getting paid now. Everybody has rev share. Can you get players to Chapel Hill? And in all due respect, all the Super Bowls you've won, they don't give a damn. Can we play? Can we win? Can I play early?
President Donald Trump signs an executive order prohibiting third-party pay-for-play payments to athletes. What does this actually mean, Rusty?
First of all, an executive order is not a law.
Yeah.
Well. So there's a lot more into it. It's basically saying that the pay-for-play has been banned already.
So that was what I was going to say. Yeah. It sounds like they're banning something that's already kind of outlawed.
Yeah, how do you determine fair market value? It's still some of the same questions, okay? And I know I talked to some – I was texting with some coaches last night. They were kind of excited about this, but everybody had the same concern. Who is enforcing this?
Right.
Who is enforcing this? So I guess the follow-up statement last night was in the next 30 days, they're going to lay out the plan of how this is going to work. So we'll see. I have my doubts.
Yeah. I looked at it, and I'm like, I get it. It's something that you can put out there that it says you did, but I don't think anything changes.
It's like you get in trouble for having a messy room, and your dad walks in and goes, clean your room, and you still don't. Well, who's going to enforce that?
Yeah. One of the wilder stories, Rusty, took place.
Holy smokes, man.
I don't even know how to say this.
I can't wait for Randy to say it today.
Former Memphis defensive back Tajra'el sent University of Texas, San Antonio, UTSA, He sent their quarterback, Owen McCown, the Tigers playbook in a
Twitter direct message before the game
yeah. with notes.
He sent all the screenshots of all the calls, their checks. Then he talked about specifically that their starting strong safety had a bad hamstring. They don't roll the covers to field boundaries. He got some really specific stuff. They lose that game 44-36.
By the way, why is it a one-possession game if you have everything you need?
Well, you still got to make plays.
I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Think about if you don't.
If you had all the info and still
if you
lost?
If you didn't have the info,
just because we have a DM from player to player doesn't mean the coach accepted it and used it.
Correct. But I did see from the original article, a Memphis player was quoted as saying, every time we had a defensive check, they had an offensive check for it. Huh.
But, again, that...
The principle, who cares
we don't
about
know
specifics?
If,
that is a absolute freaking no-no.
It is. I agree
the biggest
there.
Biggest cardinal sin of all.
No doubt.
Backstabbing your team.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. All I'm saying is, like, that's not enough evidence to me that they used it, though, just that they checked. They may have found that on tape. And this guy's career is essentially done.
It's done.
And, like, you're going to lower levels, maybe.
I don't know, but I'm sure Randy will discuss this today. In the locker room, he's been in multiple locker rooms. I can't even imagine you finding out a teammate did that to you and you lost a game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A couple days ago, Dan Lanning suggested that the college football season needs to end, including the playoffs, on or by January 1st. Get rid of the long layoffs. There's too many games to be played. You don't have the timeline.
Yeah, we don't have the time.
You don't have the timeline. You'd have to start earlier the season.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. I mean, like, NFL plays on Christmas and Thanksgiving, and those guys go home every night to their house. Like, there's no time for final exams. There's no time for break there. I mean, it's a different schedule.
I don't necessarily disagree about finding a way to get rid of the long layoffs for teams that get a first-round bye. If you remember last year, all four teams, I mentioned this with Mike Conley yesterday, all four teams that had a first-round bye, seeds 1-4, all lost their first playoff game.
Yep.
So there may have been some issues there, no doubt about that. Maybe you can work around that. I don't think that ending the season by January 1st is realistic. Just isn't. James Franklin was at a Big Ten Media Days yesterday, and he had two interesting comments, one of which has been responded to by the SEC. He called the SEC that other conference, but he also dumped on his own conference for having Media Days in Las Vegas.
A lot of our beat writers did not come to this because they couldn't afford to get out here. And the majority of our teams are near Chicago, where this used to always be. The majority of our teams are near Indianapolis, where this used to be. And it creates a different environment. I walk around the lobby, I don't see any signage. I don't see anything for the Big Ten. I don't see people getting autographs. It's a different vibe and it's a different feeling. I think that other conference, when they have their meetings, there's essentially a press conference every single day at the end of the meetings. It keeps people talking about that conference at a time of the year and makes them relevant. We're not doing that.
Look.
Dude.
I know Vegas can handle a lot of things.
Yeah.
They can handle the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I would laugh at the SEC Media Days invading Vegas.
Yeah.
That would be a show.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I got friends in the media, and it's a week-long fun. I mean, they get after it now.
Yeah.
When it was in Nashville a couple years ago.
I know.
I walk into a bar one night, and T-Bob Hebert's got his shirt off in a bar. I'm there with Doering, Peter Burns. Everybody. I won't mention some high level names. People were getting after having a good time. When I tell you it means more, it means more.
All right. So this that other conference comment, and Greg Sankey had some fun with it. He redesigned the SEC logo, posted that on social media, got a lot of positive response.
Yeah.
I don't think it was meant disrespectfully. If anything, I think he's kind of burying
he's been in both.
He's burying the other conferences
and
say we're only talking about our conference and that other conference.
Yeah.
It's just us too. Yeah. I don't think he meant it as that other conference in a disrespectful manner. I think he had to refer to himself and the SEC without saying SEC. But it didn't bother me. I do think that it was nice to to see Greg Sankey have some fun in what kind of a rivalry time right now.
Perfect. Perfect timing for him last night.
Yeah. UCLA quarterback Nico Iamalava. I don't speak on money matters. I'm just here for ball and school. You buy that?
Yeah, that's what they told him to say. Yeah, why would he want to talk about it? I mean, why would he want to talk about it? By the way, there's reports of Tennessee player Boo Carter, who is one of their...
Boy, that story's getting wild.
One of their best players basically walked out last week and...
Well, he's just missed every team function
every
for
team function
weeks
everything
now?
For, yeah, and so just reading the tea leaves, they basically told him, he's a couple guys on the team, so you need to get your new what together.
Yeah.
And he basically just walked out. This is a really good football player for Tennessee. And
is there still another portal coming?
He can't transfer.
No.
So he could technically sit out. Yeah. Here's the thing. He would have another year. Baz, I hate to say it, he could sit out. If he went in a portal, he'd have a lot of teams interested in him.
Can he do the Drake Retzlaff thing where he just transferred as a walk-on somewhere?
Probably
I don't know the timelines
probably
of how that works.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Unless he went way down. Or if he went down to D2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't do that. A couple of squads talking trash a little bit. Michigan defensive end Derek Moore says Ohio State's national title was not a real win because they didn't beat Michigan.
Yeah, I mean...
Did Michigan get the rings or did Ohio State?
Yeah, Ohio State.
Like, what are we doing here?
That's what I said, the whole thing. That's what I told Georgia fans. It's a hell of a win against the SEC. It was a hell of a win. But at the end of the day, you want the ring that Ohio State got.
And Clemson defensive end TJ Parker, quote, we're going to handle all that, end quote, referring to the Death Valley battle against LSU.
That is the game of the weekend for me.
Yes.
I know everybody talks about Texas, Ohio State, Alabama, Florida State. I'm telling you right now, LSU, Clemson is the game of the week.
Well, I've also said this because I'm a Cade Klubnik guy. Yeah. The winner of that game starts the year as the guy to beat for the Heisman, whether it's Nussmeier
or
whether it's Cade Klubnik. Yeah, now, I imagine this is the winner of this game winning this thing 44.
Wait a minute. Unless Jeremiah Smith goes off on Texas.
Dude, I get it.
I'm just
telling. Still, you. I think if Clemson wins and Cade Klubnik does one of the things I think he can do, he's my guy, Rusty. Like, everybody, he's not my guy, but I think he's winning the Heisman this year.
Everybody's on him.
Like, I think they're going 11-1, and I think he's going to win the Heisman.
I'll have to see it.
The thing about Jeremiah Smith that has me concerned.
He's the best pure player in college football.
Oh, that's not what has me concerned.
I've seen him.
It's just the quarterback question.
Could be.
Yep, that team,
they're not as good as they were last year.
They could
play very
long. But they're not that far off.
They could play very deep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And they do have the best player in offense and the best player in defense.
It's the same question at Georgia. It's the same question in Alabama. It's the same question in Ohio State. It's the same question in Michigan. You got new quarterbacks.
Now, we're going to talk about quarterbacks. And you put Alabama and Georgia together. We'll find out on my list of teams and tiers for the SEC.
Let's roll it.
If they also rolled into it on my mind as well. A lot still to come here as we head towards hour number two. We got Rusty Rocks on the way. We're going to let you hear what Michael Penix told Dukes and Bell yesterday as well, plus more college football talk coming your way. It is the Steakhouse. Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro alongside Rusty Manziel on a Friday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Steakhouse, 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon and Rusty Manziel here on a Friday. Rusty, you've been a busy man during the breaks. I see you out there taking calls. You got plans for a big weekend, man. Tell me what's going on.
Man, you're talking about glory days. We are having a 35th reunion for the 1990 state championship football team I was on. We haven't really gotten together. I think we had a teammate pass away, I believe, in 2007. We got together for that, so it's been a long time. So this crew, my shout-out, I think my buddy Eric Dowdy is listening. He is driving in with his wife today from Columbia, South Carolina. I had to explain what 92.9 the game was. Odyssey app's way over his head right now. So
you were showing me some grainy footage out there.
Dude.
Way back in the day of a young stud tight end.
Hey, I'd looked like an athlete. I say this, never was a Division I athlete. Nobody had fun or playing high school football than me. We went on to win. We talked about it this week. A couple guys are helping us getting this thing together. We won the state championship game 42-8. I remember we kicked their ass. I didn't remember what the score was, but 42-8, 15-0, that was a hell of a time. Look, we're going to get together this weekend, have a great time, see a lot of people I hadn't seen in a long time. It's just fun. I actually got a call. You were there. I actually got a call from a coach I haven't heard since high school. He lives up in South Carolina. We've been trying to get in touch with this guy, so hopefully he gets there, and we're going to have a good time this weekend, man.
Do y'all have what did y'all get to commemorate the title? Did you have rings?
We got rings, yeah.
Okay, do you still have yours?
I do. I have a ring.
Does it fit?
I don't know.
Different finger?
It's in a case.
Yeah.
I got my helmet in a case.
That definitely don't fit.
Definitely don't fit. You know what's crazy? So now when you win the state championship, they give you this like cup, and it's really nice. Georgia High School gives you this big silver cup. You know, you can put it in your So we're going to have the state championship trophy on display this weekend.
You steal it from the school?
The principal's bringing it for us.
Oh, okay.
Dude, it looks like the damn Lombardi Trophy. This thing's huge. I realize I hadn't seen it. It's been in a case at the school. I don't think I've seen it in probably 30 years, maybe, but I didn't realize how damn big that thing
You going to try and drink out of it?
We might. Take that thing downtown.
That was the first thing you thought of, too. It's like, I wonder if we can still drink out of it.
Take that thing downtown. You know what? After that game that night.
And careful now. Y'all reminders.
No, statute of limitations are gone. That was the when you see those movies on Varsity Blues, and you see all those movies at high school games, that was the first one after the game. I walked into my boy's house, and it was on.
Okay.
It was on. It was a real party at that point.
Oh,
so we enjoyed it, man. We had a lot of Capri Suns that night.
Well, I hope you have a great weekend.
We're
going to
have a
fun
time, man.
I
can't wait to see everybody. It's like I said last night. Everybody's a little bit faster, and your stats are a little bit better, and we'll just tell some lies. But be good to see everybody, man. I enjoyed it.
There you go. Make sure everyone Uber, Lyft,
we've got all that stuff.
Yep. Rusty, I broke down. There are 16 teams. Have there been any new added? It's still, what is it? There's no.
North Carolina, Clemson.
We're still there.
They didn't get in last night.
We're still there. So 16
teams. They're trying to get in.
Yes, 16 teams still in the SEC. I think they all break down into one of three groups.
And I haven't seen these yet.
You have not, because rundowns are not for everyone.
That's right.
And so I think they all break down into one. Don't turn now.
I've got
it.
Pages in.
I'll read it. Okay. I think they all break down into one of three groups. I'm guessing you're going to know immediately which schools go where.
Okay.
Here are the three groups.
Descriptions
of the three. A tier is not the right word because I'm not ranking them. Okay. It's just where they belong.
All right.
Here are my three groups. Teams who need talent to support the quarterback. Essentially, I think they're going to get the quarterback play needed. The questions are elsewhere. That's one group. Group two, teams who need the quarterback to support the talent. They have enough talent as long as the quarterback play isn't a letdown. That's group two. And then group three, they need both the quarterback and the surrounding talent to step up.
That's going into this season.
Going into the season,
okay,
what
not
I believe.
Historical. This is just.
Correct.
Okay,
this is this year's groups.
This year's group. Okay.
And what I believe each squad to be.
All right, like it.
We're going to start with teams who need the talent to support the quarterback. These are the schools I believe will get the quarterback play. I have questions elsewhere. We're going to go back to front just to mess around with it. I think Oklahoma with John Mateer is in this group.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of John Mateer.
Me too.
I think he's a major dark horse this year.
Me too.
You add in the running back Jaden Ott. I've talked about them. Vanderbilt. Diego Pavia.
He is their team. It all goes
and so that's why he goes into they need the talent to support the quarterback.
100%.
DJ Lagway at Florida.
100%.
Lenora Sellers, South Carolina.
100%.
Garrett Nussmeier.
100%.
And Arch.
No.
At Texas.
I'm not sold yet.
I'm not sold, but my questions about that team lie elsewhere.
As in, they lost four offensive linemen. They lost seven
starters. Of receivers.
They lost seven starters on defense.
Yeah, and that whole receiving corps is gone.
The whole receiving corps is gone.
My questions are not going to be about Arch. My questions are going to be about the guy supporting Arch.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't entirely – because I do agree with you. I still also have questions about Arch.
And let me say this. I think Arch Manning can be the number one pick. I think Arch Manning can be really good.
But you got to see it.
He's going through some growing pains.
You got to see it.
He's going to go through some
growing pains. So would you put him in that last tier, last group, both quarterback and surrounding talent to step up?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so let's jump down to that tier, that group, because these are the groups of teams that are probably not competing – for the conference championship, the way Texas is.
Okay.
I got Tennessee. I don't know what I'm getting at Joey Aguilar.
Yeah, that's
I don't
that's
know what's around him.
That's a tough deal there.
Texas A&M.
Disagree. I love Marcel Reed. I think their defense let them down. I think he is really good. I think he's really accurate.
So you put him in that middle group. They have the quarterback.
Yes.
Excuse me, you put him in that first group.
They didn't lose because of quarterback play. Marcel Reed is a damn baller. Defense let them down.
Okay.
I'm telling you, Marcel Reed is my kind of under-the-radar guy that people – nobody talked about Lenore Sellers last year. Everybody's talking about Lenore Sellers.
Right.
I think this time next year, everybody's going to be talking about Marcel Reed.
And again, I don't think these teams have to stay in this group because I think this next one at Ole Miss
– Alston Simmons is – shit, he carved Georgia up. I don't know if I can say that word on air, but he carved Georgia up.
He did. Yep. But I also need to see it over the course of a season, so I still need him to step up.
I agree.
Missouri –
I agree where they are here. Yep.
Auburn?
Yep.
What is that, Jackson Arnold?
Jackson Arnold. Who
he's got to show it, though.
He's got to show it, but there is some potential there.
Well, look, you're starting quarterback in the SEC. You probably have some talent.
The whole piece of the puzzle around you, yes.
Auburn? We already just went through. Kentucky?
Zach Calzada. We'll see.
He needs to step up, so there's a talent around him.
Six-year player.
Yeah, and Mississippi State.
Just a lot of
everyone needs to step up.
Everybody.
I have two teams that I believe have the talent, and I have questions at quarterback.
I'm probably going to agree with both of those.
The first one is Alabama.
I would agree.
I think that team – now, I also have questions about head coach there.
I don't know that yet, but I do think that there's a lot of questions around Ty Simpson.
If Ty Simpson plays at a certain level, that team can win the national championship.
100% agree.
And the other one's Georgia.
100% agree.
I think it can be a lesser level for Gunnar Stockton than at a lot of other schools.
He can be a ball distributor.
He can, right.
Because they're wide receiver. Georgia almost won the national championship with Jay Fromm. That's what he was.
Yeah.
He was a smart ball distributor, didn't turn it over, hit his key throws, you know, didn't hurt you with his legs as much as Gunnar can. I think Jay Fromm was a great processor. For all the intangibles that I love about Gunnar Stockton, we're going to have to see it. But he doesn't have to be the driver of the ship. He has to be a guy to make sure nothing gets out of hand.
For me, when I look at Gunnar Stockton, the one category that's going to matter is turnovers.
Correct.
And obviously, that's like a simple, dumbed down, easy thing to say.
I spoke at the Atlanta Touchdown Club this week, and there's a lot of Georgia fans in there, and they said, listen, don't sugarcoat this. Give me your biggest concern. My biggest concern with Gunnar, for whatever reason, because he is taller than Stetson. I know Drew Brees is a short quarterback. I've stood beside Bryce Young. He is way taller than Bryce Young. My biggest concern is he had two tip balls against Notre Dame, and he had three in the spring game. Listen, you cannot have a tip ball. For whatever reason, I don't know. I haven't looked into it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's had problems with tip balls, and that's a problem over 15 games.
When I look at, let's just say, DJ Lagway at Florida, when I look at Garrett Nussmeier at LSU, these are guys that are going to need to throw for 280
it goes through
to 300 yards a game to win these games.
Yep.
I think Gunnar Stockton can win you games at 220, 230 if he's smart with it. And you got to get the run game, too.
Here's the thing. Gunnar Stockton, too. Now, this is something Carson Beck did not want to do. At times, he could show you. Gunnar Stockton can get you two first downs a game with his legs. He can turn second and 11 and get you a first down and move the chains. That's very important for him.
Now, I think we look at Alabama, and I say you need what you need out of quarterback because you have two of the best receivers in Bernard and Ryan Williams.
And you got your OC.
Right.
You got your guy back. We got your guy.
I think defensively, Alabama's not going to drop off too much either.
I agree there.
The question for me in regards to that is Georgia. They need to be better than they were a year ago.
Two things Georgia's got to improve on, period. You got to be able to run the football.
Correct.
And they got to be able to get off the field on third down. They could not get off the field on third down, which is something you did not see out of Glenn Schumann's defense.
I find it fascinating that Georgia had multiple first-round picks defensively this past year, and that was what wasn't good enough. Run game two.
Yeah.
But that was what wasn't good enough. Coming into this year, there are no projected first-round picks. I disagree. I think guys will play themselves into that spot.
Somebody could, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But we're asking this team to be better than they were a year ago with theoretically less talent.
Yeah, but Mykael Williams was banged up last year, so you really take him out. I mean, they openly said he had to take a shot to play Alabama.
Would you say that, because I'm trying to make some good arguments, would you say that the defense, especially the front, is deeper this year than they were last year? Maybe not top-heavy, but deeper.
It is deeper, and you also bring back two linebackers in C.J. Allen and Raylan Wilson. You also bring in two kids who were five stars two classes ago in Chris Cole and Justin Williams who played. You got K.J. Bolden back for second year.
I know about him.
So, yeah, you know about K.J. Bolden. Listen, you look at this, and you're never going to have a 21 defense. In the history of Georgia football, you're never going to have a team that looks like 2021. It still doesn't mean as a overall group you cannot be a very productive defensive group, okay? And they got NFL players over there just because they don't have first-rounders. These guys are going to be in here. And listen, Cole Kublik comes out this week and says, Elo Madozzi is going to be the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. I've heard he's been really damn good now. This is the edge defender from Army, the 6'3", 225-pound edge defender. So we'll see. But if you bring a 10 sack guy into that defense with those guys, it's going to be pretty good.
I want to roll off a list of teams, and you just tell me if you think, if things go right, if they have what it takes to win the SEC.
The SEC. Okay, not now. Okay, yeah.
If you win the SEC,
yeah,
you can probably win the
national championship. Yep.
Texas.
Yes.
LSU. If things go right.
Yes.
South Carolina.
No.
Florida.
No. Schedule kills you.
Oklahoma.
No. Not enough depth.
We already talked about Georgia and Alabama.
Yep.
Anyone along that bottom line, Tennessee, A&M, Ole Miss, Missouri, Auburn, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt?
Here's my sneaky kind of hot take. If they get hot.
Auburn?
Texas A&M.
Okay. So you said yes to Texas, yes to LSU, yes to Georgia, yes to Alabama, and then you threw A&M. Did you say – You said no to South Carolina, no to Oklahoma?
I think South Carolina is unbelievably top heavy. They're replacing 17 stars.
I just don't think it's easy to repeat what you did last year, both as an individual for Lenore. I think they're going to have a little step back.
I love
same thing I think with Vandy, by the way.
I love Lenore Sellers. Look at Ole Miss. They're replacing a ton of people.
So you've got five teams that you think can win the SEC.
Yes. Yep.
But for A&M specifically more than the others, a lot has to go right.
Has to be a perfect scenario.
There you
go. They have to be hot at the end, too.
If you're going to win the SEC, you just got to be hot the whole season.
Ohio State didn't win their division, and they were hot at the end.
Well, they're not in the SEC.
But I know, but
there you go.
They still got the ring.
They got to play Indiana in regular season as their tough matchup. All right. When we come back, an opportunity to hear from Michael Penix. He spoke with Dukes and Bell yesterday, and also very special edition of Rusty Rocks.
Go Dragons, baby.
All right, there you go. Rusty Rocks coming your way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back into the Steakhouse. Abe Gordon, Rusty Mansell. Atlanta Falcons training camp has begun. Football season is here. We're going to hear from Michael Penix, quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, in just a moment. He caught up with Dukes and Bell yesterday after practice, but some cool news alongside in the football world here locally. Arthur Blank, the Family Foundation, they're providing new helmets for both Morehouse College and Clark Atlanta's football programs. Obviously, Morehouse head coach there, former Falcon Terrence Mathis. So Arthur Blank helping out one of his own a little bit there.
Huge
Rusty.
Deal, man. Those Speed Flex helmets, those things, man, they retail – I think around $300 a piece. You start talking about buying two teams, I mean, and the technology and the safety of those things are incredible. You talking about old school and glory days. I picked up my helmet the other night. It was like a damn boat anchor. Like, you talking about walking concussion, and now those speed flexes and those kids get new helmets. That's awesome.
Can't exactly repad the one that you got. They don't just shoot air into various parts.
If I hit somebody in that helmet, number one, they would life flight me to Grady. Number two, they would probably arrest a coach. Yeah. It was the old bike with the old blue webbing in the middle. Like, we thought because it had a little bit of air.
Yeah.
That, zero. Dude, it's so heavy. It's unbelievable compared to what they have now. And then technology. So.
And you guys didn't have targeting back then.
You could
do whatever you wanted with those things.
I can't even remember those things.
There you go. Mike Penix, quarterback one for the Atlanta Falcons, caught up with Dukes and Bell yesterday. Look, high expectations for the Atlanta Falcons, and he did not slow that down. He was talking about this could be the best offense in the NFL. They started their conversation, Dukes and Bell did, with Mike Penix, asking him about how different this year feels from last year.
The only difference is, I mean, I got a different title this year, you know, but I always cut the main thing. You know, the goal is to do whatever I can to help this team win football games, and that's going to continue to stay that. So still the same mindset, you know, just a different title this year.
You were known as a great leader, man, a captain at Washington. Do you feel more comfortable taking that leadership role this season?
Yeah, man. I've always been comfortable in that role. You know, it don't come overnight. You know, obviously you got to gain that trust from the guys. And, you know, each and every day I continue to try to prove that, make sure the guys know that I'm somebody they can look at as a leader. And, you know, I just got to come out here and be consistent each and every day. And my play is going to speak for itself. So,
Michael Penix joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So a lot of conversation about Kyle Pitts this offseason. Saw that you guys got together, not just Pitts, but your receiving core. Yeah. Did you orchestrate that? Did you call the guys and say, hey, let's hook up and get together? And do you feel like you got some quality work in? Or was it just, hey, hanging out and get to know guys?
Yeah, to be honest, Darnell Mooney, he called that up. You know, I definitely knew I wanted to get with the guys. But Mooney, he said it's on him this year. he took it this year, and he was like, hey, man, because I know you're fresh to it. You know, this is your first year starting. You know, I want to he wanted to take over this year, you know, bringing the guys out, you know, to Cali and working together. So, but that's just the leader that he is as well, you know. But next year, it'll definitely be on me. So,
what's up, Darnell?
Darnell Mooney, baby. Hey, what's the relationship like with Zach Robinson, especially now that you are going to be the man from the jump as opposed to taking it in midseason last year? Anything different with the playbook, or is he working to your strengths?
My relationship with him is great. You know, he trusts me, I trust him, and he's gonna call whatever's on that playbook, because he know as long as we're on the same page, you know, whenever we get out there, you know, we're gonna go out there and make it work. You know, every call not gonna be great, every play by me not gonna be great, but at the end of the day, we gotta lean on each other, you know, in those hard times and even in those good times, you know, and always trust each other, and you know, always come to an understanding when it comes game day, and we locked in and we're gonna do whatever it takes to win football games.
Michael Penix joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Mike, there was a play last year Mike and I talk about where you went to Drake, y'all missed it, and you went right back to it, and you hit it for a touchdown. And I bring this up only to say, how much confidence do you instill not only in Drake but also maybe Kyle Pitts and say, hey, I'm coming to you, dog, I'm getting you to rock? Like, does that help, and is that you? Do you do those things for those guys, or is it just a situation that happens and plays out throughout the course of a game?
Man, it's what we do, not on Sundays, but, you know, throughout the week, each and every day, you know, gaining that confidence, gaining that that trust with those guys, and allowing them to understand, like, hey, man, we nobody perfect. You know, we strive to be perfect, but nobody's perfect. Everybody's not going to make every single play, you know, but as long as we continue to play the next play, you know, the ball will find you, and I'm always going to find an open guy. So they know that. They'll get the ball.
You remember that play?
I do.
We do, because that's the thing. Michael Penix Jr., our quarterback, joins us on Dukes and Bell. When we talk to people around the country about the Falcons and they ask us about you, I say that Sunday night game against the Commanders, that was like a big moment. It's like a playoff type atmosphere, and you made one of those great throws to Kyle Pitts for a touchdown. Did you go back and look at all your film from last year?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you think?
Oh, I mean, it was a lot of things to work off of. You know, obviously, you know, it was tough connecting, you know, early on, you know, but, you know, as we continue to get better each and every day, you know, just spending all that time, you know, outside of the game field and even off the field as well, you know, just building that relationship with those guys, you know, that connection to continue to build. And I've been seeing it build all offseason. I can't wait to see what we do this year.
SEC Media Days just happened. Kalen DeBoer was in town, and he said, hey, you came to the crib. Y'all kicked it. You have a great relationship with him. What is he telling you as you now made your way into the professional ranks and helping you as long as he's known you? Probably he says he's known you better, you know, as far as an offensive coordinator and being around you than anybody else.
Yeah, man, he just told me to be myself. You know, he said, that's all I got to do, be myself. He told me to just trust my abilities and, you know, just go out there and have fun. You know, that's the biggest thing he always say, just have fun, you know, and be you. And that's the main thing that he always tell me.
Speaking of having fun, man, people loving the vibe, the working class hero, man, being at Costco, when you get the word, you're going to be the starter. What else did you do this summer, man? What was your off season?
This summer, I didn't really do too much. I went back home to my city, in Dade City. You know, I had a kids camp there. You know, truly enjoyed that. You know, all the kids that came out and supported, and
had a street named after you, didn't you?
Got a street named after me. That was a blessing as well too. You know, so those things. I got out to fish a little bit. Been trying to golf, get my golf game better, but that's about it.
How's it?
You already catch?
Yeah, we're all fishing. Well, we try to fish.
Yeah, We went trout fishing.
Okay.
Yeah, out there trout.
In the golf game, what's it look like?
It's getting there. I ain't gonna talk too much about it, but it's getting there.
Well, now it's go time. So right. You shutting that down, right? You won't have time to do that. Yeah. Michael, what do you want to improve on, man? I mean, obviously 3-game sample space, but you know your game. You know what you're capable of. Mm-hmm. Coming into this season, you say, this is what I got to be better at. What is that?
Just the connection with the guys. You know, obviously seeing last year, you know, seeing all the plays that was left out there, you know, it's not something that, you know, I'm used to seeing. You know, I like to at least give my guys a chance. And it was the times last year where I wasn't giving them a chance, you know. So just make sure I give those guys a chance, you know, just connecting with them, you know, day in and day out, make sure that our chemistry is where it needs to be.
Do we know what the workload's going to be like in preseason? Because I know last year we wanted to see more of you in preseason. Have you talked to Coach about that yet?
No talks about that yet.
What about Kirk Cousins, man? How's that really? I know you're talking about how he's had your back. Same vibe?
Yeah, same vibe, man. He's great. Great guy. You know, he's still a leader. You know, everybody looking at him as a leader, and he's always going to be that. You know.
You feel what's going on around here? I'm talking about Atlanta, like, with you and, like, how people feel and the excitement. Do you feel that?
I am a little bit, you know. I feel like once season come around, you'll see it and feel it even more, you know. But I definitely am feeling the love, you know. It's amazing, you know. I love the city, man. It's a great city. You know, I was glad I got drafted here. You know, I'm not too far from home, so be able to have family come up a lot. So it's been great.
And then finally, we talked a lot about the playoffs. We talked to AJ Terrell, Jesse Bates. You know, you're in your second year. A lot of these guys have not been in the playoffs. I mean, do you set goals like that, or just it is what it is?
No, we gotta win. we gotta get there, man. That's always the goal, man. The goal, trying to win every one, you know. But we're gonna do whatever it takes to make sure that we do that.
There it is, Michael Penix. Big things expected for him this year, and he's not slowing down the hype train. Said this could be one of the best offenses in the NFL, but he's got to take care of business, as do the rest of the squad, and they got to stay healthy. Darnell Mooney banged up a little bit yesterday at practice. Hopefully, we see him back out there tomorrow. A lot going on this week. Some interesting angles to take, and we did it via Rusty Rocks. Rusty, what do we got today?
Well, I thought I had an opening, but
I was told there was music.
You got to, especially this week, got to have walkout music. Bo ain't going to let me down right there. Real quick, man, I obviously was going at the beginning of the week. I was like, easy topic. My boys in town, we got a big reunion. 1990, what was the songs I remember came out that fall and that year? Then, unfortunately, Ozzy Osbourne passes away. And I'm like, well, can I do Ozzy? Then Hulk Hogan passes away. And I was like, ah, man. So I got three topics today mixed into one with five songs. And I'm going to start with a bunch of just rowdy-ass ballers from Lyndale, Georgia. A couple of songs that came out. And we all were bumping these songs. This is a little soft. I don't care. I still love my guy LL Cool J from 1990. Love some LL, man. Around the Way Girl, back in the day. A Fendi bag and a bad attitude. I'm sure Randy's bumping his head to this one. This is a good one right here. Don't play this next one. Obviously, this hit is the stand of time here. But here's what I'll say. This is one of those songs, Bo. I remember the first time I heard this, and it came out during football season of that year, number 4 on this list. Easy song. Little rip off of Queen right here. Vanilla Ice. had my dad's 86 Eddie Bauer Bronco just straight blasting that thing riding downtown.
And is in here jealous about your Bronco. That's the car that he wants.
Dude, it was a bad one, man. It was a bad one. 86 Eddie Bauer. Made some bad decisions. I made some good decisions in that Bronco. Sorry, Dad. Number three. I love this one. This was kind of one of those huge moments in professional wrestling or wrestling. This is when my man turned. Hulk Hogan went to NWO. Voodoo Child. This was when he turned on everybody and came out to NWO.
Made this song iconic again.
Dude, it introduced it to a whole new generation. Yeah. 100%. You still hear this song and you think about them coming out.
100%, yeah, that's it.
Wolfpack, baby. NWO. Number two, got to get to the man. Obviously, this is a song that I like a lot of people know because of one of our Atlanta Braves. Number two for me, Ozzy Osbourne. Crazy Train and Chipper's walkout song, Chipper Jones. And this song came out in 1980. I had to look it up. I was like, what is this song really about? It's about the Cold War. He wrote it about all the stuff going on in the world, but this is an iconic song, man, from one of the best ever to do it, Ozzy Osbourne. Number one will go down now, more special, I guess you could say, because this is the last song that he ever played live. July the 9th, I believe that concert was. This was the last song he ever sung in front of everyone. He struggled a little bit. And when you see the reaction to everybody, they knew he was struggling to sing this such high notes. You see people with tears in their eyes. Great freaking song, man. Number one for me today has to be what an iconic, what they said, two-week notice he gave with this song. Ozzy Osbourne, number one today. Mama, I'm coming home. Wrote this song about his wife, Sharon, who stood by him through God knows what that woman went through. What a saint there.
Good for her.
Dude, no question,
man. She went on to make a completely different career than he did.
Correct.
All on the side, yeah, while still being by his side.
When you say people are soulmates, that might have been the only female that would have stood by, yeah, that dude after what he went through. But shout out to Sharon. He wrote this song for her. He sang it last in his career. Couldn't think of a better song to end this one on. Mom, I'm coming home. Ozzy Osbourne.
There it is. Rusty Rocks, a busy week, unfortunately, for the passing of some Hollywood stars there. When we come back, John Foyt, Game of the Night, and Three Strikes as we wrap up the Steakhouse on a Friday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bo,
welcome back into the Steakhouse.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
You just scared this man to death. He's like, don't tell me he just died. I was like, dude.
There's two guys. There are two guys, Rusty, who I've like been mentally preparing myself for a while of their eventual path. We all go at some point.
Ric Flair and who?
No, it's not Rick. Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks is one I'm prepared
he's,
for.
He's definitely late in the game.
And then, especially with some of the recent issues, is Billy.
How in the Billy hell Joel. Did Nikki Sixx and Ric Flair outlive all these people?
Hasn't Ric Flair technically died and come back?
Four or five times.
Yeah, right? Like, he's kind of in the fine print, right?
We got to bubble wrap him and Willie Nelson for about the next 6 weeks.
Willie's focused on some more natural
options
extend his life, I believe. John Foy, big game of the night here on the Steakhouse, presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Braves back at it tonight. Texas Rangers 8:05. Joey Wentz against Nathan Eovaldi. There's also actually some really good, not that too many people are tuning in, but, you know, I might. There's actually some really good games in the MLS tonight. And so,
as Mike Conti said, there's just a really good CFL game tonight.
Edmonton and Saskatchewan.
The Rough Riders.
So, yeah. San Diego and Nashville late night tonight in the MLS. So, there you go. That's what's the couple options. John Foy, big game of the night. It's tough to keep making arguments for Braves as big game of the night, Rusty.
Yeah, man.
In a week or two, right, you said we're big game of the night might be some high school football.
I guarantee you on August 1st you can start doing big games of the night, for sure.
Because I don't want to be
– there's some big-time open scrimmage games.
I can't be making arguments for Joey Wentz
on the
Corky Kale
Classic, which is on 92.90 games, some of those games. We open up on Wednesday, August 13th with real games.
How about my guys got in it this year?
Who's that?
Dunwoody, baby.
Dunwoody. Yes,
Bo
sir.
Bo Johnson on the call at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Look at my man, Bo Johnson.
Oh, you know what? I was supposed to ask you. What did Sandra wanted me to ask Rusty about Dunwoody back in the 90s?
So they were really good. That was,
I know.
That
she was, didn't believe me. She thought I was blowing
so that
smoke.
That was Travis Stroud, Rod Perryman. They won the state championship in 1994, I believe.
She didn't believe me. Now, you know what? She wanted me to ask you about the year I went there, and they were not good, in 2003.
I don't know.
I don't think we had a single starred recruit. Not one. There's no way.
They've had a better program. They have a I know some people. I had some people, had some good friends of mine from Rome, had a couple kids that went through there the last couple of years. They're on the uptick over there.
It's fine. We were a basketball school when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that.
1994. They were real good. That was the same year as Hines Ward and all those guys came out. Travis Stroud was a huge recruit. I know Travis listens. Rod Perryman, I believe, was a running back. He went to Georgia. The Hetzenberg. That's where my guy from Remember the Titans was.
Yeah, so Kit Pardue played in 95,
Sunshine.
I believe.
He played Sunshine. Yeah, he was junior, yeah.
Yeah, because he and Seacrest were the same year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both in the class of 95.
Sunshine was the quarterback of the state championship team.
Yeah.
Yep. No, what about him, man?
So there you go.
Seacrest played too, right? He did. He did play football. He did.
He might have been.
He played football.
He's a DB, right?
I think he was
a DB.
I'm not sure he was correcting helmets, but he was. Hey, man.
Well,
he got a state championship.
You line him up somewhere. I mean,
yeah. Kudos to him, man. Shout out Dunwoody, 94.
Yeah. It hadn't been so great since. I used to go to games with my dad back then. They'd take me to the games when they were good back in the 90s. I was young. I don't remember a lot
all
about them.
All the kids that I grew up, people that still come up to us like, hey, I was 9, 10 years old, went to that game. You know, that's kind of, you know, we got to play the state championship at home, and we didn't play in the Georgia Dome and all that stuff. So that was kind of important. I do want to give one quick shout out, man. I had someone at 929 reach out to me this week. One of our loyal listeners, somebody that's a huge high school fan, and I believe his name is Brett, and he's going through a big battle right now in life with some medical issues, and want to let him know that we are praying for him and thank you from all his support. And he's a Georgia Bulldog fan. He's a huge high school football fan down in Brooks, Georgia, I believe is where we are. So let him know we are thinking about him.
I got the three strikes questions right here. It's all something we've touched on here or there at some point during today's show. So if you want to jump in line, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. In just a couple of moments, we'll ask these questions, start take some calls, get some answers. But I do want to remind you guys, Falcons training camp, the sessions Saturday and Sunday there at Flowery Branch are sold out, but there are still tickets remaining for the 8 other sessions later on in training camp, including the joint practices with the Titans. Go to AtlantaFalcons.com. Tickets are free, but they do ask that you go ahead and pick up tickets before coming up there to Flowery Branch. If you are going to be there at Flowery Branch on either Saturday or Sunday, 92.9 The Game is going to be there as well. We've got coverage with Sam and Greg Saturday. They're going to be there from 9 o'clock until 1 o'clock, breaking down practice and doing their thing. And then on Sunday, special edition, half of the morning shift, Mike Johnson and Dylan Matthews are going to be right there.
Sunday, like
at
9
Flower
to 1,
Beach.
Right?
Say again?
They're 9 to 1.
9 to 1 on Sunday. There's going to be Mike and Dylan.
You talking about crisp that 11 to 1 hour?
Yeah.
Woo,
and then we'll all get back out at there. Morning shift, Steakhouse, Andy, Randy, Dukes, and Bell come Tuesday and Thursday next week. And again, Duke Sabell going to be at the Hooters of Mall of Georgia and training camp coverage on 92.9 The Game, brought to you by North Georgia Honda Dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no parties like a Hooters party. So I'm looking forward to getting back out there. I had a nice time there yesterday, and unfortunately, I was doing steakhouse yesterday, so I didn't really get to see much. Mm-hmm. When I'll be back out there next week with Andy and Randy, I'll get an opportunity to actually take in the practice early and see morning, what's going on. Because I was just living off of tweets, and I didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. All I could see was that Kyle Pitts was
so
taking over.
So it is full open now. If you get one of the tickets, you're in. Full 2,000 fans.
Yeah, right. But make sure you go to AtlantaFalcons.com.
Are they doing one of the school things where they usually do?
I don't know.
I know they did it second year a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yep. And a lot of that was because they didn't have fans, so keep an eye on that. All right, 404-726-0929 for three strikes. Here are the three questions we've got today. We talked about Big Ten Media Days out there in Las Vegas. What's the perfect amount of time to spend in Las Vegas? That's question number one. Question number two, your favorite wrestler growing up or now, just your favorite wrestler then or now, whichever one is more preferable. And then number three, I didn't wake up early, but I did do it first thing this morning. I watched Happy Gilmore 2. What's the best golf movie of all time? So your three questions.
Here's the angle of that. Today, on 1980, Caddyshack was released.
Now, I did not know that separate of watching Happy Gilmore. You told me that earlier today.
Yep.
So there are your three questions. 404-726-0929. It is time for three strikes. As we wait for the phone lines to light up, 404-726-0929, I got to tell you, I have never been to Vegas.
Holy, it's been a while for me.
I had a trip planned for my 35th birthday 5 years ago. And also 5 years ago, we had COVID.
I went on back.
No, I didn't physically have COVID. We were in COVID, and I couldn't go to Vegas.
Two of my boys got married like 05, 06, 07, one of those. We went back-to-back years, bachelor parties. I really want to go see the Spear. I really want to go see the Eagles come back in the fall. Mm. The problem is they play on Friday and Saturday night in the fall, which is a
football season.
It's a wrap for
tough,
me.
Tough go.
I should have damn went in spring.
Yeah.
I heard it's unbelievable, though.
Yeah. I think my perfect length of time is in Vegas is a little longer than most people's. I think I could handle it, but we'll see what people have to say.
I would say 3 days. I want to do March Madness there one the opening days. One point.
Yeah.
I want to do Thursday, Friday.
It's almost a weird situation to be in Vegas because I'm not leaving the book. Like I'd just be watching the games. I wouldn't even be at tables gambling. Environment. We got a couple on the line now to play three strikes with us. We got David in Atlanta, line one. David,
what's up, fellas?
What's the perfect length of time to spend in Las Vegas?
4 days to avoid that jet lag.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Who was your favorite wrestler either growing up or right now?
Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka, baby.
And what's the best golf movie of all time?
Tin Cup.
I was wondering if we were going to one of those. I'll
be sure that's going to be close.
I think we've got three movies that kind of stand alone. I'm interested to see if anything else comes in. Tin Cup was one of those three. All right, Joseph is in Gainesville. Joseph, perfect length of time to spend in Las Vegas.
5 days. Obviously, the jet lag, depending where you're coming from. You need a day to sit at the pool and look at the ladies. And then the rest, you got to gamble, brother.
All right, who was your favorite wrestler growing up?
I'm going to go old school, brother. Mr. Wrestling number one.
And what's the best golf movie of all time?
That's my guy here.
Well, you know, I'm also a Tin Cup fan, but, I mean, that's probably the only one I really watched that was memorable.
All right, good deal. Appreciate that, Joseph. Cody in Atlanta. Cody, what's the perfect amount of time to spend in Las Vegas?
Man, the perfect amount of time to spend in Las Vegas is 4 nights, Friday to Monday.
All right. Who's your favorite wrestler growing up or now?
Man, Mr. Perfect.
All right. And what's the best golf movie of all time?
Well, the one that's named the greatest game ever played.
All right, very good one. I was wondering which there's like two or three fringe movies I thought people might bring up. That was certainly one of them. We'll wrap things up. Chris is in Noonan. What's going on, Chris?
What's going on, fellas?
What is the perfect amount of time to spend in Las Vegas?
3 days. Any more than that, and you're just a degenerate.
Who's your favorite wrestler growing up?
Man, late 80s, early 90s, Jake the Snake, hands down.
And what's the best golf movie of all time?
Every answer other than Caddyshack is just wrong.
Okay, there you go. Appreciate the call, Chris.
I'm pretty loyal to Caddyshack. I know it's kind of quirky, but, dude, there's so many one-liners in there. And Rodney Dangerfield is a great character. That's a great movie. I'll go old school. Some of these guys are going to know this. Man, my guy was Tommy Wildfire Rich, man. That dude, and I found out he had kids in like 9 states.
That's about right.
He enjoyed his time on the road.
The regional circuit took him,
back
you know?
In the day, I have to say, look, too, man, from Rome, Georgia, shout out Arn Anderson from East Rome High School. He won the state championship in football. He's state champion wrestler, one of the original four horsemen. My favorite Arn Anderson story, I sit in a booth with him in Rome, Georgia, and watched O.J. Simpson run in the Bronco that night. And might be the last time I saw him, but that was cool. That was a cool moment.
Yeah, there you go. Three strikes. We'll get that up on social media in a little bit. But, Rusty, that's it. It's 2 hours right there, dead and gone.
Flies, man.
It's a Friday. The weekend's here.
It's a big one.
It's time to get out of here. Let the midday show guys deal, man.
Let's do that.
It's time for us to get out of here. Thank you, Bo Johnson. Appreciate it, as always, Rusty. Nice to work with you.
Appreciate
Looking forward to football season finally being here.
This is the last weekend. Listen to me, people. The last weekend until February 8th, 2026.
All right, we made it. State Shapiro back on Monday. We're going to rock and roll until then. Midday show coming up. Andy and Randy right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.